Dan, I have a long list. I have a long list of things that we have complained about in the past, and some of these I'd like to keep on our list so that we can keep complaining about them on future episodes of our podcast.
That's a good idea, because if there's one thing you're good at, it's complaining.
I definitely have a long list. I am excellent at complaining. I complain about the weather. Yep. Well, you do too. We both complain about comments and social media and Facebook comments.
Yep.
We've complained about, just about everything. But the one thing that we have complained about on a number of occasions are kilns, kiln drying firewood.
Yes.
And we just don't understand them.
Correct.
Well, we know what they are. They're a big box. It gets hot inside, and it removes all the moisture from wood.
Correct. But there's a lot that go. There's a lot of questions surrounding that whole concept as well. But we have definitely been complaining about that. I remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, one thing though that we cannot be criticized about is just idly complaining. Me and you, we both put our elbows to the grindstone, or whatever you put to the grindstone, and we have dug up an expert in the kiln industry, and he is sitting right across from us right now at this table, and I can just tell he's itching to talk. So
yes.
let me introduce you to our new friend. His name is Paul Grenier. He is the director of sales of iDry, which is a Vermont-based kiln manufacturer. Paul, welcome to the Woodhounds podcast.
Hello, guys. Really excited to be here and chat with you guys about wood and kiln drying, and hopefully we can clear up some of the confusion about the process and see how it fits into the firewood industry.
Yes. Thanks for being here. I wanted to say I spy a guy from iDry, and there he is across the table. And you're also a host of a podcast as well, right? The Whiskey and Wood podcast.
Yeah. So about a year ago, we started a podcast called Whiskey and Wood, and we focus on the small and medium size wood businesses, whether you're making lumber, making stuff with lumber, drying lumber. We interview people in the industry who are successful and share their tips and bring in other industry experts, kind of like you guys are doing with this show. And it's really fun. Yeah. So if anybody's into that side of things and wants to follow along, have some entertainment, maybe learn some things along the way, we welcome you to join.
All right. Well, that would be, I think we could ask all of the listeners of the Woodhounds to check out your podcast, Whiskey and Wood.
Yep. Whiskeyandwood.co, just C-O, not .com.
Okay. Real good. So Paul, the first thing though I'm interested in is just the name of the company. So it is called iDry, which is spelled with a lowercase I and then capital D for dry. What's the deal with that?
You know, the owner of the company, Jim, he's always liked technology, and he's kind of like the branding that the iPhone has done. And you'll notice some similarities. Yeah. We have the iDry Standard, the iDry Plus, which is kind of models some of their phone names, I guess. The Turbo Mini is one of our kilns. So, I think that's, he just liked the way it looks. He likes the way it sounds, and it's simple. So
yeah,
that's why
it worked, because it caught my attention, and it does. It gives the appearance of like high tech. Because the way I see kilns, you know, I mean, it's not like it's the opposite of high tech. it's not high tech, but it is. And that is what we have learned about some of the products that iDry offers. But it is from my understanding, though, that you're really not a firewood-ish kind of company. Your focus is really on boards, lumber, sawmills, right?
Correct. Yeah. So we are a vacuum kiln company. That's what we've always kind of been. We do have our first non-vacuum kiln product that we're going to talk about, but you know, primarily since the early 80s, we have been building vacuum chambers here in Barrie, Vermont. And right now we are definitely North America's largest vacuum kiln manufacturer. So
What is just the process? Just explain a little bit on that, the vacuum kiln process.
Sure. So I get a lot of calls from firewood guys. And one thing is we are the fastest way to dry wood, with the caveat of we're talking about lumber. Now, when we say we're fastest to dry lumber, it's a measure of drying lumber without degrade to 7% plus or minus, which is furniture grade. How quick can we do that and maintain quality? Now, when we talk about speed with firewood kilns, it's a completely, we're just talking about getting it below a certain moisture content percentage in a certain amount of time. We don't care if it moves or if it cracks. And so vacuum kilns are a technology which allow us to go faster without ruining the wood, essentially.
Okay. All
right. If I understand a kiln, there's a heating element and there's air being moved. So the air is getting sucked in and blown out the other side. But a vacuum kiln is different, though. Is that right? Explain to us just how a vacuum kiln works.
Well, I guess let me explain the three types of drying, really, and then we'll jump. So we have dehumidification kilns, and this is in the lumber world. We have dehumidification kilns, which is a room with a dehumidifier, very similar to what you guys would put in your home, except for this is a commercial one, and there's fans and there's heat. So in a dehumidification kiln, it's a refrigerant coil that condenses water to remove it from the environment. In a conventional kiln, it's heat, it's fans, and it's ventilation to move moisture from the environment. And then vacuum kiln, we add another element. We create a negative pressure chamber. And really, it's all based off the fact that everything on this planet is trying to equalize temperature, humidity, pressure. And the challenge with drying wood in a conventional or a dehumidification type of system is as wood dries, it shrinks, right? There's woods are made out of cells, so cellular walls and cellular cavities. And as that happens, it shrinks. And as those cells shrink and harden, it prevents moisture movement. So in conventional kilns, we have heat and airflow. So it's drying from the outside in. And the challenge is, how do we get the moisture out of the center of the wood without drying the outside first? So you need to be very deliberate on your humidity levels and your heat and your fans. And that's the challenge with especially drying thicker lumber, which is what a vacuum kiln is really good at. When it's 1-inch material, you don't have much of a difference between the shell and the core. So vacuum kilns, we build a chamber and part of the expense is vacuum kilns are not cheap. So we have to build the chamber out of stainless steel, and it needs to be able to withstand about 1,500 pounds per square foot of pressure. So it's significant. And what happens is we put wood in this chamber. Now wood is high pressure in a low pressure environment. So the air inside of those cellular walls wants to push to the surface. And another big thing is we lower the boiling point of water. Like if you were at base camp on Mount Everest, you'd be upset that your coffee can't get that hot because it starts boiling below like 150, 60 degrees, right? So at low temps, we remove moisture from the wood, and we can hold more moisture in a vacuum chamber environment because a vacuum is essentially removing oxygen. And water is made out of a hydrogen and two oxygens. So we hold moisture in this chamber. And think of the moisture as like when you take a shower and you see moisture particles floating around the air. That's what it's like in there. So we keep the outside of the wood damp, which keeps the fibers relaxed as pressure pushes moisture to the surface. So throughout the wood drying process, everything stays copacetic. The shell and the core are very close, and that's how we dry wood faster.
So that's completely different than my whole thought of a kiln is, like you had mentioned, heat, airflow, and somehow removing the moisture. So you heat things up like an oven, you have air flowing, but to your point of like that kind of dries from the outside in, and that's where I think a lot of times kiln dried firewood might on the outside appear to be 20%, but could still have higher moisture on the inside.
Exactly. Like that's something I want to know. When we're saying we want to get it below 20%, firewood is obviously thicker. What do we need the average moisture content to be for the firewood? Because that is the challenge. And so firewood kilns are just that. They are a bunch of heat, a bunch of airflow, and a bunch of ventilation.
And it generally takes a long time.
It can.
Like 3 days or that's what I've kind of heard. Like, you know, it, you have to run them for days.
So that's really quick. 3 days is really quick.
When we're
talking about drying a 3-inch piece of lumber or a slab in a conventional kiln, that's 3 to 5 months to get it to 7%. In a vacuum kiln, that's like 3 to 5 weeks. So when we're talking about drying firewood to in 4 days or 3 days, that's super quick.
So that's that means you got a lot of heat and a lot of airflow going in.
That's it. And I've always, so I get a lot of firewood guys that call me and they say, you know, I want to dry firewood and I want to dry it in 4 days. And my first question is, why does it need to be dried that fast? Because energy cost with a firewood kiln is directly related to speed. There's no way to make a firewood kiln efficient because in order to get that moisture away from the wood, it's like having a really efficient home with the doors and windows open all the time. We're pumping in heat, moisture's coming out as fast as possible. So it's just, I don't know. I'm trying to wrap my head around the firewood industry and why it needs to be so fast, because it costs more to dry wood that way.
Probably because firewooders are impatient people and they want to turn that inventory as fast as they can. So firewood is big and bulky, and for it to be sitting around the wood yard for a long time, people don't want to do it. For instance, I sell seasoned firewood, but I have the space to stack out all my wood in straight rows, and it'll sit there to air dry for 6 months to a year to 2 years for some species that Dan and I both don't like to talk about, but whatever. It is my understanding, like some of the firewood kilns that I had seen can get that moisture content down, and they're talking about internal moisture content down. The magic standard in firewood is like 20% moisture content. That is a good burning stick. It will keep creosote to a minimum in your chimney. It cuts down on particulate emissions as it's burnt, you know, and sent up through the chimney. So it just seems like 3 days is this magic number for kilns. But I see the difference now with the kilns that are made specifically for boards, because they're beautiful and you want to make beautiful furniture out of them, and it is worth the extra time to bring that moisture down slower so that the boards, I guess, don't get under stress where they warp and crack or discolor or whatever.
You got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And firewood, obviously, that's not a concern if it twists and moves and cracks.
Right.
Great.
Nope.
But, you know, I've looked at, so Kiln Direct is a company that I'm sure you guys are familiar with, right?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yep. So they make a 4-cord kiln called the Mini Quick, and it's propane, and it has a 600,000 BTU capacity heating system on it. Now, that thing is going through a major amount of fuel to dry wood in that short period of time. So
yeah,
at some point you really got to crunch the numbers. Like, what is a kiln dried cord of firewood worth? How much does it cost me to get to that kiln dried firewood? And then see how much meat you have left on the bones. I would recommend anybody who's thinking about drying wood, kiln drying firewood, to just crunch those numbers and see like what makes sense for you.
Is that, and I think, is that where the challenge lies? Is like, if I wanted to dry a third of a cord, like an IBC tote, let's say, you know what an IBC tote is, right? Like,
Yeah. That's what we test ours with. Yeah.
So let's say I just wanted to dry one of those. What you're saying is the challenge there is to have a kiln small enough to dry one third of a cord. The amount of energy it would take to do that would increase your cost, and you'd have to sell your firewood for a lot more.
Yeah. So say if you take that third of a cord and you dry it in 7 days, based off our energy cost, we could do that for about $50. So if you want to dry that in 4 days, now your cost is $80 or $75. It's pretty linear. The faster you dry, the more energy you put into the box, the more it costs you. So like, what is a good balance point for a small wood operation of speed versus a cost effectiveness?
Right.
Is something that I think should be considered.
That's the challenge. Yeah.
That's the challenge. You can't make an efficient firewood kiln. You just can't do it.
Yeah. Well, could a kiln, okay, I'm just thinking of just the kiln, okay? Can the operator, the owner of that kiln, dictate the time that he or she wants that wood to cook in there until it can be sold? Like, you know, could you really crank it up and have it done in 3 days, or could you turn the wick down some so it takes about 2 weeks? You know, is that the way a kiln can be operated?
If you have enough heating capacity, yes, but the heating capacity, the BTUs that you need to be able to dump into that box is going to be massive to be able to get to that 3 days, right? So if you have a 500,000 BTU boiler of some sort or a heat source, yeah, you could get it done in 3 days and then you could dial it down to 7 days. But you need a really, if you think of how much water is in a cord of wood, it's like 1,000 gallons of water or something like that, that you need to dissipate from that cord of wood into the environment. And what else goes out with the moisture? It's heat. You're losing heat as fast as you put it in. So to be able to have enough heat so that it can still pour out of the kiln and maintain a high temperature, you need a really massive heating system with those.
Yeah.
With your, you mentioned something about you were looking into an option for firewood.
That's
kind of something that I think you're introducing, or it's new or it's out. What is that? Sure.
So I mentioned before we do vacuum kilns, which are expensive to get into, and they solve a lot of problems in the lumber industry, but we also realize there's a entry level wood drying, and vacuum is less important when we're drying thinner lumber. So that's primarily kind of why we came up with this kiln. It's essentially the business end of a vacuum kiln. So it's the fan, it's the electric heating elements, and we bolt it onto an insulated 20-foot container, and then we modulate venting and air intake for lumber specifically. So we set certain humidity set points. However, it's the best option we have for firewood. Now, we tested some firewood with this system, and we use those IBC totes like you mentioned, and we were able to dry firewood below 20% in around 7 days.
But we're
at an ambient temperature of 65 degrees when that happened. Outdoor air temperature does play a role. In the winter, it's going to take longer, cost you more money. But we were able to, 7 days, and based off electric, it was about $50 a cord in energy cost.
What is the electric requirements for it? Can I plug this into the wall when I unplug my coffee maker?
Not quite, but it definitely is household electricity. Our vacuum kilns and this kiln are 60 amp single phase 208 to 240 volts. So, you know, kind of like a hot tub circuit. You definitely, you'd want to have an electrician come and wire it up, but it's just a two pole breaker.
Very interesting, Paul. Let me remind everyone, we are speaking with Paul Grenier. He is the director of sales for iDry. They are a kiln manufacturer out of Barrie, Vermont. And he is also the brains and the personality of his own podcast called Whiskey and Wood. And that could be found on all of the major streaming services. So, Paul, thanks again for sitting with Dan and I here on the Woodhounds podcast. But let me dig deeper into this new product that you mentioned. Can you maybe walk all of us through? Let's say, you know, that we are a firewooder and this is the product that we're looking at. So it's the kiln controls. It can be plugged into household electric, but I guess the homeowner would have to supply the box, I guess, you know. Could you maybe just walk us through a scenario where a person could make this work at their own place of operation?
Yeah, absolutely. So our kiln is pretty unique in the fact that everything is included in this one. The box is, so the chamber's stainless steel, and it's covered with a plastic that's similar to the stuff that Yeti Coolers is made out of. So it's rated to go outside. But yeah, you can take a 20-foot shipping container, or you can build a shed if you want. We have plans for both. And it's just one opening where you have a opening that's a certain size and you bolt this on the outside of it. So there's no internal fan decks. There's no internal vents that you have to add. And the way we can do that is we move air uniquely in our vacuum kilns and this kiln, where the fan is perpendicular to the stack of wood or your IBC totes, where we actually blow it around them, build up static pressure, and then it forces it through the center of the wood. And honestly, airflow is sometimes overlooked in the drying process. It's as important as heat, because without airflow to pull that moisture from the surface of the wood, that moisture is just going to sit there. And I think other people who may have tried to dry wood in the past and may have found that the center of their stack was moldy, and that's the reason, is improper airflow.
Yeah. So yeah. What would a homeowner need, though? Would they need like a shipping container, you know, a Connex or a garden shed, or what would be a possible solution to this?
You know, it's pretty universal. We do have some maximum lengths and widths. But we have, some plans for a shed. If you want to build a side load shed, you could do that. Or we have shipping containers, so a 20-foot shipping container. You get it skim coated with a closed cell spray foam. We recommend a minimum of R13 for the insulation, which is, you know, about 2 inches of spray foam. And then you just bolt it on, hook up your three wires, and you have a really smart kiln that's capable of doing firewood or lumber. And I guess one thing I want to add also is these are modular. So if you have a bit of a larger operation, you could take a 40-foot side load shipping container and put a unit on both sides of it, and now you have a 8,000 board foot capacity kiln. The units would talk to each other, run reverse airflow directions to build up that static pressure. We're excited about it. It's been received well. I just did a show at the Richmond Expo and talked to a lot of firewood and lumber guys. It's an interesting, it could be an option for a smaller operation or a homeowner who wants to start doing their own wood.
Now, if this did go into a shipping container, though, would you be required? It'd have to get insulated. Do you have to cut holes in it for venting and stuff?
No. So all the venting, since we move air in a circular pattern, when you're moving in one direction, there's a negative pressure where it goes by a 6-inch pipe. That's your air intake. And then when it comes around the other side, that's where your exhaust is. And every 2 hours, it reverses direction. So everything is in this one box. There's no, you literally just cut one hole into the side of a shipping container.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. And the name of it is the iDry Air, correct?
The iDry Air. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So my question is that, you know, it can be used to dry the wood, but in firewood, there's another, I guess, category called heat treating. So the, you know, and from my understanding, my limited knowledge of this, kiln drying, when you kiln dry, you lower moisture, but when you heat treat, you just, you know, the requirement in Wisconsin here is an internal core temperature of 140 degrees for 60 minutes. That's what you need to reach.
Yeah. So it's kind of crazy. In Vermont here, our requirement is 160 degrees at the core for 45 minutes, I think. And the reason I know this is because with our vacuum kilns, we had the state come in and certify that they were able to get to sterilization and heat treat temperatures.
Yep.
So all we did was we took a, we have a wireless wood core probe sensor and stick it in the wood, prove that the temperature got up to that. So we could still do that in these kilns. It might take a while because our maximum temperature in these kilns is like 170 degrees. And if we need to get the core, well, I guess it would take less time where you guys are than it would in Vermont, which is the good thing.
You got stronger bugs out there.
Yeah, so you should be able to get up to that temperature. And another cool thing is, you can also log all your data of your cycles for maximum temperature the kiln reached. Because I know some states, that's what they do, is you need to have a kiln report showing that, hey, this load went in, then it reached this. So our system can do that. One thing that a customer who bought this to dry firewood with, he's doing is he is actually adding some auxiliary heat. So he's got a outdoor wood boiler that he's essentially pumping in. He piped into the side of this container, and now he's using that wood heat from a scrap wood to offset any electric usage.
Nice. Yeah. Cause sometimes, you know, firewood suppliers have wood seasoned, but they need to meet that requirement for like moving across state lines or from county to county to kill the bugs. They just need to do the heat treatment. So the iDry Air would be something that would be able to achieve that.
Yeah, we, so cautiously, I believe that it can. I haven't had the engineer test that the wood core got up to that temperature or how long it took. So
okay.
I would want to confirm that before I was like, yeah, definitely 100% will. Cause I think, you know, there could be some limiting factors. Like, are we in the dead of winter? Cause we only have so much heating capacity with these. However, it would be so easy to add an auxiliary heat source and utilize some of that free waste wood. And the challenge with waste wood is you have a BTU rating on the system. That maximum BTU rating is for a specific set of parameters. Like as soon as you load it, you might reach that, but then overnight your temperature starts going down because you aren't feeding it. And what's cool about our system is the electricity can offset that and carry the temperature until you can get out there and feed it again. So yeah, I think there's some cool options for the firewood guys with this system. It's interesting. It's the closest we've ever gotten because a vacuum kiln just isn't practical from a cost standpoint. So it's the closest we've gotten.
That is very interesting because then the end user, the customer, the person who owns the wood yard, I guess if they were handy, they could make their own structure, you know, their own wooden box. They could make it to any size that they want to fit however much firewood they want to dry at one time, because the limiting factor for a lot of firewooders is the machine they have that can pick up the basket, you know? So like my tractor can probably only pick up maximum a third at a time. And, you know, if it was all in one basket, I'm not going to be picking up a full cord. So that's what I was thinking. My mind is working here, Paul, because I'm thinking the product that you guys are making could be fitted to any size container. And I'm on the small end here, so I'm not even getting close to your maximum size. And then you could have an all electric, but then if you're also handy enough, you can somehow make it to where you're heating as an auxiliary heat source the waste, which firewood operations generate a lot of. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Very modular. That's what we like. You can start with one unit and a small kiln, and then work your way up and build a larger shed and add another eye dry air in the future. And, you know, another thing that we do with our kilns is we can add a hot water heating coil, because I know electric costs can be higher in different parts of the country, but the hot water heating coil would be the same idea. Instead of electricity, you could just circulate hot water into the kiln.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Wow. Lots of science being talked here. You're talking pressure points and humidity levels and all this very technical stuff.
And that's why it's I, lowercase I, dry. I like it. It all starting to make sense now, Paul. What is, if people listening to our podcast want to look into this more and they just want to see what the iDry Air looks like, do you guys have a website?
Yeah, absolutely. They can just go to idrywood.com.
Interesting. Nice. And then if they want to take it another step farther and discuss a quote or possibly purchasing one, they can contact you.
Yeah.
Maybe we can put your contact information in the podcast notes, Dan.
Yep.
Yeah. They can contact me. We're very transparent with all of our pricing for all of our products. If you go to idrywood.com, you click on products, you'll see every price for every kiln. The iDry Air is a $19,000 unit. Plus shipping, which usually is $1,000, right around there.
Yeah. As of April 2024.
Correct. That's right.
If you're listening to this podcast 10 years from now, don't hold Paul to that number.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
So if Woodhounds listening out there want more info, they can go to your website. But do you also like attend the trade shows, or is there any way if someone wanted to say see an iDry kiln that they could do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned, we just got back from a trade show in Richmond, Virginia, the Wood Expo there. We're going to be at a logging expo in Burlington, Vermont, coming up. And you can see, if you go to idrywood.com, we list out all the events we're going to be at. I'm bringing an iDry Air to all of them because it's a heck of a lot easier to move than our vacuum kilns that weigh 14,000 pounds. And it's kind of cool. One of our customers made us he does post and beam work, and he made us a really cool post and beam stand for the thing to sit on. It's beautiful. But yeah, you can see us, go to our events on our website. And if you want to see our kilns in person, now this is a fairly new product for us. So we've shipped probably 10 or 15 of them. We have 30 of them coming down the pipe. But we have a website called idrynearme.com. Now that's where you can find mostly vacuum kilns at this point, but we'll be getting some iDry Airs on there. And that website's also for any portable sawmilling, furniture makers, people who are selling lumber. It's for the small and medium wood business. And if anybody on here does any of those things and they want to get listed, they could just go to List My Business. It's $100 a year, and 100% of that money goes towards making sure when people around the country Google any of these services that we pop up first and we direct them directly to you. So like I said,
some lumber, I could go through your website and find someone near me with an eye dry kiln and have them dry it for me.
Absolutely. Okay. It's
nice.
That's a lot of our customers are making money doing that. Since the vacuum kilns are super versatile and easy to use, yeah, a lot of guys will do that as a side business.
All right. Well, Paul, I think I am becoming more educated with kilns. I'm still getting my brain around this because our interest with kilns is on the firewood side. So we're starting to see a difference right now between lumber and firewood. But, you know, we want to thank you for hanging out with us and being part of the Woodhounds podcast and introducing yourself and your company, iDry, from Barrie, Vermont.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure. It's nice to be on the other side of the mic and answering some questions. As I mentioned, we got the Whiskey and Wood podcast. So, yeah, this has been fun.
I've always had ideas of a kiln or something like that. And now after talking to you, I'm starting to warm up to it a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. Nice one.
The ideas are circulating around in the air. They're flowing around me like crazy.
A lot of hot air in here. Huh?
Oh, there's a lot of hot air in this room. That's right.
Awesome. All right. But Paul, we must discuss something before you leave. We have a tradition here at the Woodhounds podcast.
Yes, we have some questions that we need you to answer, but you need to answer them quick and like with one word. So like rapid fire.
Okay, I'm here. I'm ready.
Yeah, and we will also caution you that you are under a severe time constraint. And if you fail this task, you will suffer a significant Woodhound penalty.
This is a timed event.
Love it.
So with that, do you accept this challenge, Paul?
I accept this challenge. I'm ready.
All right. Okay.
Dan, you will start the clock and you will begin the woodhounding process.
Here we go. All right. What car did you take your driver's test in?
A Nissan Sentra.
What is your favorite chainsaw?
Steel.
Yeah.
Probably a smaller one.
What is your favorite fast food restaurant?
Chick-fil-A.
Where is your dream vacation?
Alaska.
Do you believe in UFOs?
Yes.
Who is your favorite rock band?
AC/DC.
What is your favorite firewood species?
Not oak.
I gotta tell you, we gotta add Paul to our team here, Dan.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather go to a truck pull or a symphony orchestra?
Truck pull.
Who is your favorite historical figure?
Benjamin Franklin.
And who is your favorite sports team?
Boston Bruins.
Oh, hey. All right. Yeah. Very nice. That
nice. I'll tell you, Paul, good I job. Was impressed. Yeah, wow, Paul may be our top dog for the woodhounding process. He did pretty good.
I made a extra large cup of coffee before this, so that might be contributing.
No whiskey, just coffee?
No whiskey. No whiskey for me. Right. Not today.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, all right. I was getting ready to tell a joke there about the whiskey rebellion, but we'll save that one for a different podcast here. All right. So I want to thank our guest, Paul Grenier. He is the director of sales for iDry out of Barrie, Vermont. And Dan, I don't know. I'm feeling a little bit smarter. How about you?
I am as well. If you are, I definitely am. That's for sure. But yes, thank you, Paul. Greatly appreciate you coming on here. And I look forward to maybe down the road seeing at one of these shows coming up and talking to you some more.
Yeah, love to run into you guys, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, that's too bad. I would have liked to have seen him at the International Firewood Expo, but I think it's we've run out of space to bring in new vendors. But maybe next year. Let's stay in touch. How about that?
Put us on the list.
All right. All right. Well, Dan, what do you say? Let's strike up the band, and maybe we can let Paul head on back to his whiskey and wood.
All right. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in to the Woodhounds, the number one firewood podcast in the world. And again, thank you, Paul and Joe.
Yes.
It's out of here.
All righty. Well, I want to thank everyone for helping make the Woodhounds the number one firewood podcast in the world. And Dan, I want you to stay
safe
and be
eye dry.
And Paul Grenier, have
a great day.